Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I was showing Miss Jan recently. I had the chance to go up into the lair of Pastor Mike's study. He's given me some tips and pointers, so we'll see how it goes. So, if Brother Larry is ready, we can read the verse. We can read the verses whenever you're ready.
Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Bless these words.
Thank you, Brother Larry.
You're welcome.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful day that we could come out here freely and worship you. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us that we do not deserve. Please, as Sister Carolyn asked, let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct the rest of this service. Thank you for his indwelling. Let what he wants to hear be told and heard. Thank you again for this beautiful church up on top of the hill. Thank you for each and every single person that's come out this morning and worship you in the rain and the drizzle. Please lead, guide, and direct us in the week to come. Thank you most of all for Jesus, who died for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, in preparing for today's message, Heidi and I always look at a lot of sermons that has been done on Galatians. A common title for these verses among many was entitled Bear with One Another. When we think of bearing with one another, what does that mean? A synonym for bear could be abide, absorb, accept, and endure, among others. And as we do this, are we doing this with the fruits of the Spirit in mind that we have been reviewing? Are we doing this in love, humility, gentleness, and patience, to name a few?
Amen.
For review, Pastor Mike spoke on Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 last week. Let us review this verse as we head into today's message. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. He focused on four key words: caught, restore, gently, and watch. We have been shown to restore the broken. This week, we are further focusing on Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 6, for which Brother Larry has just read to us, and we always appreciate him reading the scriptures. From the NIV, it again says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the laws of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. So again, looking back at verse 1, those who seek to restore the broken will seek to relieve their burden. Burden may refer to a physical burden, an emotional burden, or a mental burden, or a spiritual burden.
Amen.
The word burden is often used to describe a heavy load that is difficult to lift or carry. The word burden comes from the Greek word baros, which means a heavy load which is hard to lift and difficult to carry. An example of carrying a burden may be to bring some form of relief or comfort to someone else's challenging situation. For example, someone lost their job and are facing the weight of needing to buy groceries to feed their family. Taking away the burden may mean to buy groceries for the family so that they can have food to eat. By doing this, you have carried off their weight for that moment in time.
Amen.
One of the heaviest burdens a Christian may have are temptations. This suggests burdens that tempt a sinning believer to fall into a trespass for which he has been delivered. To be free from a sin is not always to be free from its temptation. The spiritual believer who truly loves their brother and sincerely wants to restore them to the walk with the Spirit will continue to spend time with them and make themselves available for counsel and encouragement.
Amen.
See, there's a line right there, Pastor Leonard. Prayer is the most powerful weapon believers have in conquering sin and opposing Satan. And nothing helps a brother carry his burdens as much as prayer for them and with them.
Amen.
In verse 2, it is telling us to carry each other's burdens. Each other or one another is referenced found frequently in the Bible. In John chapter 15, verse 17 says, "This is my command, love each other." In James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." In John 15:12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you," as Jesus was speaking.
Amen.
And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So Paul was happy with their actions. In 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." And Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you."
Amen.
The brother who has been delivered from a transgression trespass has an obligation to let his spiritual friends help him carry his burdens. It is not spiritually, but pride that makes a person want to go it alone. James tells believers in James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective."
Amen.
When believers bear one another's burdens, they fulfill the law of Christ Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." The law of Christ is the law of love, which fulfills all the rest of God's law.
Amen.
Paul has already discussed the law of love in Galatians 5:13 through 15, and now he is applying it. How much we appreciate it when the doctor uses tenderness when he sets a broken bone, and how much more should we use tender loving care when we seek to restore a broken brother or sister. What is it to bear with one another? Consider the physical illustration of mountain climbing. In May of 1953, two men became the first to climb to the top of Mount Everest. Edmund Hillary, a New Zealand beekeeper and explorer, and his Sherpa guide from Nepal, Tenzing Norgay. They reached the summit together and obtained instant international fame. On the way down from the 29,000-foot peak, Hillary slipped and started to fall. He would almost certainly have fallen to his death, but Tenzing Norgay immediately dug in his ice axe and braced the rope, linking them together, saving Hillary's life. At the bottom, the international press made a huge fuss over the Sherpa guides' heroic action. Through it all, Tenzing Norgay remained very calm, very professional, very uncarried away by it all. To all the shouted questions, he had one simple answer. Mountain climbers always help each other.
Amen.
Repent of bragging, we find in Galatians 6, 3 and 4. Galatians 6, verse 3 says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. If we are going to, one, restore one who has fallen into sin, and two, relieve the burden, we must not be consumed with our own sin, which would render us unable to help. God knows that you and I will not restore the broken or relieve the burden if we are too full of ourselves. And verses 3 and 4 in chapter 6 challenges us to repent of bragging. One of the chief reasons many Christians do not bother to help fellow Christians is that they feel superior to sinners and wrongly consider themselves to be spiritually something when the truth is they are really nothing. Like the Pharisees, their concern is not for the true righteousness that God gives and that only comes through humility, but for their own self-righteousness, which has no part in God's kingdom or its work. Their desire is not to help a stumbling brother, but to judge and condemn him. At best, they leave him to stew in his own juice, thinking, if not saying, he got himself into this mess, let him get himself out. The Christian who thinks he is something when he is nothing needs help in facing his own sin before he can be qualified to help anyone else out of sin.
Amen.
In Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And it goes on to say, why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Amen.
If he refuses to see his own spiritual need, he deceives himself, and he is useless in serving God or in helping fellow believers. The Greek verb behind deceive means to lead one's mind astray and relates to subjective fantasies that are self-deceptive. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And verse 17 says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Therefore, every Christian should, in Galatians 6, 4, should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Other words, his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. A believer's first responsibility is to test and examine themselves to be sure of their own attitudes and life are right in the eyes of the Lord before they attempt to give spiritual help to others. Then and only then will he have a reason for boasting in the proper way.
Amen.
If anything remains for boasting after honest self-examination, it will be that which induces boasting in our Lord, meaning on who God is and what God is doing in our lives. If there is a reason for a believer to boast or rejoicing in himself, that is in regard to what God has done in and through him. It is on the basis of his faithfulness and obedience, not on the basis of what he may have accomplished in regard to or compared to his neighbor. If someone is truly more faithful and useful than some of their fellow believers, that is God's doing, not their own.
Amen.
In Romans 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. I'm sure that most of us remembers the boxer Muhammad Ali. There was a great story of the one-time heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Muhammad Ali, flying to one of his engagements. Ali's name has never been synonymous with humility. And thus, whether this story is fact or fiction, it seems as though that it could have came from Mr. Louisville Lip. So during the flight, the aircraft ran into foul weather, and mild to moderate turbulence began to toss it about. And all nervous flyers know well when the pilot turns on the moderate turbulence light, he is implying, if you have any religious beliefs, it's time to start praying. The passengers were accordingly instructed to fasten their seatbelts immediately. Everybody did it except for Muhammad Ali. Noticing this, the flight attendant approached him and requested that he observe the captain's order, only to hear Ali say, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The flight attendant did not miss a beat and replied, "Superman didn't need no airplane either."
Amen.
So, as in review, relieve the burden was in Galatians 6, 2 and 3. Repent of bragging was in Galatians 6, 3 and 4. And now respect our boundary is in Galatians 6, verse 5. For each one of us should carry our own load. This seems to contradict what Paul has just said about bearing one another's burdens in Galatians 6, chapter 2. But he uses a different term here. Load refers to anything that is carried. It has no connotation of difficulty. It was often used of the general obligations of life that a person is responsible to bear on his own. In other words, while verse 2 refers to an overwhelming burden that we cannot carry by ourselves, the word load in verse 5 describes a soldier's backpack. It is something small and light enough for everyone to carry. It's the difference between a backpack and a boulder. We're to bear that is which is too heavy for another human to handle alone, but we cannot carry someone else's responsibility. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12 through 15 says, "If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." In 2 Corinthians 5:10, in verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad."
Amen.
His load can also refer to fulfilling his personal calling and ministry for the Lord. Jesus assures his followers that the load of service he gives them is light. And in Matthew 11, verse 30, "In either case, every believer is accountable to bear his own load, even the light one Christ gives him, and to answer for his faithfulness in so doing when he faces him." This section of Galatians has been frequently paraphrased in historic documents. On November 4th, 1790, an English Baptist church in Stratford, Buckinghamshire, England, set forth as part of the Congregational Covenant the following statement agreed. It's amazing, this statement from 1790. Their statement was, "To walk in love towards those with whom we stand connected in the bonds of Christian fellowship. As the effect of this, we will pray much for one another." As we have the opportunity, we will associate together for religious purposes. Those of us who are more in more comfortable situations in life than some of our brethren with regard to good things of providence will administer as we have ability and see occasion to their necessities. We will bear one another's burdens, sympathize with the afflicted in body and mind, so far as we know their case under their trials, and as we see occasion, advise, caution, and encourage one another. We will watch over one another for good. We will studiously avoid giving or taking offenses. Thus, we will make it our study to fulfill the law of Christ. These things, and whatever else may appear enjoined by the word of God, we promise in strength of divine grace to observe and practice. But knowing our insufficiency for anything that is spiritually good in and of ourselves, we look up to him who giveth power to the faint.
Amen.
Rejoicing that in the Lord we have not only righteousness but strength. Hold thou us up, O Lord, and we shall be saved.
Amen.
Finally, looking at Galatians 6:6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. With this verse, I want to share how Alistair Begg addressed this verse from his series, Right with God. He referenced 1 Corinthians 9:13, which says, "Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and those that serve at the altar and what is offered on the altar?" Paul, in writing Galatians verse 6, was not concerned about himself at the time, but was thinking of those in the future who would be called to come forth to bring the gospel. Simply a reminder to support those individuals so that they may fulfill their calling in the ministry. While we listened to the message that Alistair Begg gave, he frequently referenced the song, Lean on Me. Lean on Me is a song written and recorded by an American singer-songwriter, Bill Withers, in 1972. I was born in 71. Bill Withers' childhood in a coal mining town of Slab Fork, West Virginia, was the inspiration for Lean on Me, which he wrote after he had moved to Los Angeles and found himself missing the strong community ethic of his hometown. I want to play this song for you now. Please listen to the words and remember today's message. as me and Heidi was finishing preparing the sermon, we thought we'd use that song. And of course, we both believe that this church is definitely what that song's talking about, that we have leaned on lots of people here, and we hope that people will learn to lean on us. Also, as Heidi, it turns out, as you prepare messages, we always say we're the ones that learn the most. Also, I did not remember that as Heidi eulogized her father at his funeral, that this was her and her dad's favorite song. So now, if we could, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you again for this message. Thank you for your holy word. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you again for each and every single person that has came out. Thank you for the guidance and help of the Holy Spirit. Please, as we finish this service with your beautiful hymns, please send us off in the week ahead and send us to our job that you have for us, and let us speak freely of what you have done for us in our life and the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Let us be your light. Let us all here look to Jesus as the perfect sacrifice that he was. He was fully God and fully man, the only perfect person that walked the earth, and let us look to him for his example. We thank you for him. We thank you that he came to earth and that he died on the cross. He was resurrected on the third day. And now we thank you that he sits at your right hand interceding for us, that we understand that the creator of the world is talking to you on our behalf. And we thank you for this. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing 422.